Hello, everybody, and welcome to your PW3 PSA. When these started out, they were geared towards helping the hungry, so I thought I would take that straight to its source, and today I want to direct you to the American Farmland Trust at farmland.org. This is a nonprofit organization that has created a trust to help protect the land, water, and soil of America's farms, because that's where your food comes from. Until they get on this whole synthesizing food appropriately into pill form for me, we should continue to support organizations like this one and this one specifically. And that's, again, www.farmland.org, the American Farmland Trust. And now, on with the show.
So is that something we can use until Soylent Green becomes available?
I think so. I think so. And like I had suggested last week, unfortunately, I did not make any effort to gather more information about the nonprofit that longtime friend of the show, Jenna McGlynn, works for. So maybe next week I will make an effort, and that will be our PSA, because I really two thumbs up for what he does.
Yeah, I completely dropped the ball on that as well. I was going to send you info.
I will remind him to remind you to do that thing.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Now I'll kick it over to myself. Hey, greetings, true believers. Welcome to another exciting installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. This is Ray and Ian, specifically me and Ray, the founders of our Puzzle Warriors Alliance. Our illustrious partner, Craig, is on extended medical hiatus. He took a bump to the head and now has foreign accent syndrome, and he was just too ridiculous to have on the show. So joining us once again, everybody's favorite, the Shemp to our Three Stooges, the Mr. Furley to our Three's Company, it's Joe. Welcome back, Joe.
Thanks for having me, guys. At least you didn't say it was Joe Besser on the Three Stooges side or Mr. Roper on the Three's Company side. Now, that does make me question which of you is Chrissy.
Me?
All right.
That's an easy one.
All right.
So yeah, Ray is definitely Janet.
Right, and then Craig, of course, is Jack Tripper. Yeah. Of course.
Nice. That's solid. I'm okay with that. I was a little worried there for a minute, but all right.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So thanks for having me on again on, so soon after my last appearance.
I know! Turnaround time is getting out of control. This is exciting. Yes. You're like our fifth Beatle.
I'm okay being Ringo,
Okay.
Everybody else hates Ringo. I think Ringo is, at the very least, my favorite living Beatle.
Yeah, I guess it's a coin flip at this point, but that's right. Cool. He still has a pretty prolific career.
When Ringo was on tour with his all-star band last year, my wife and I went to go see him in Reading at whatever their little stadium was. And it was one of those deals where it's like, oh, Reading, that's only an hour and change away. We can go there and see them. And after we bought the tickets, a week later, they announced that he was playing a day later at the FM Kirby Center, which is a quarter mile from my house. Now, granted, it was on a school night, so it would have been a little rougher to go to, even that close, being out that late with us both having work the next day. But I think it all turned out for the best.
How was the show?
It was awesome.
Oh, good.
He has a whole bunch of different folks in the All-Star Band, folks from Asia, the band, not the country, right. Or continent, rather. You know, people who did stuff with the Eagles and people who played in Santana and all this other stuff. So you're getting a bunch of Beatles stuff, you're getting a bunch of Ringo solo stuff, and then you're getting a bunch of like, oh, a guy from Mike and the Mechanics is here, so we're going to play their hit, you know? And it was a fun time, and it was in and out. It was like, it started right on time. They played for an hour and 40 minutes. Then they came back and did like a three-song encore, and it was done like 2 hours on the dot. Like,
wow.
It's almost as though he's been doing this for a while and is a professional.
I was going to say, that's so shockingly appropriate.
Yes.
So, Mike and the Mechanics, you got to listen to Ringo play like Silent Running? And
yes.
Nice. That is awesome.
That does sound like a really fun time and a good surprise. All right, so go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I'll be Ringo. I'm okay with that.
That's fine. We will welcome that. All right, we'll get into this. This is the week of November 15th through the 22nd. Deadpool dailies this week. The Hood, Doc Ock, Thor, Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Iron Fist, Ragnarok, Kamala Khan. Let's see. The crash. Oh, the 5-day, 4-star crash. Savage of the Titans. Going on currently, Iceman fighting Jean Grey. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm optimistic. You guys have both completed it.
How is your Jean Grey looking these days, or your Iceman looking these days?
I don't remember, but his blue is at a 5, his green is at a 2 or 3, and his purple is at a 2 or 3.
If you go in there and stockpile a little blue purple,
yeah,
and you wait till you have 12, or at the very least like 9 in a match in sight, make a snowman, punch a snowman, you're good.
Okay.
Especially with the blue at 5, piece of cake. Just be careful of match 5s on accident.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's yeah, so I want to post a picture of this. My very first, like, I started it the very first day, and there were 3 match 5s right available for me to make on the very first move. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
That's shady. Now, if she has been snowmanned, is she still able to activate that power?
No.
Okay. That's positive. All right. And then coming up here in a couple days, probably Saturday, unless I'm way off, Jean's in the driver's seat. She's going to be fighting some moonstones.
Yes. And this has always been, strangely, one of the harder crashes with me, even with even when my Jean Grey was moderately covered, let alone being champed. I would say that Moonstone is in the running with, like, 5-star cap for the character that the computer plays way better than I ever could.
Yeah. Right?
No kidding.
It gets... The computer gets Moonstone's powers to work. It does... Photon blast at the perfectly opportune moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they really, for some, and that's true for, I feel, a lot of the, characters on the lesser end of the popularity. The computer is like, oh, well, here's how they're supposed to work. And then when you give them someone, like, excellent, like Luke Cage, they're like, how is this jab, jab, cross supposed to work? I'm supposed to throw one jab and then never do it again? Ah, that's the most effective thing to do. So yeah, that should be a good fight. And then we've got some intrigue, some mystery, some low-grade controversy as to who is up next. If you trust Joe, which I do, because he is right about this sort of Marvel Puzzle Quest thing more often than not, Gamorpha is probably next because she is an awesome mix too. And she has been around long enough to get worked into the mix. Apparently, there's an outlier's chance that Yondu's going to sneak ahead of her.
No.
That he would get in the rotation. So it would it's
Gamorpha
either
Gamorpha and Rocket and Groot are definitely next. I would bet the farm on those two being after Jean Grey. Yondu could sneak in,
right?
If they throw him in as a prize in PvE in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so those two definitely. Yondu probably not, but. We don't want to look that far ahead, so we'll just say Gamorpha is next. If you do decide to bet the farm, check out farmland.org for the American Farmland Trust. They will be able to protect that land, even though you bet it on Gamorpha.
So we're getting a lot of questions about Craig on the Discord and whether he's actually okay. So Craig is
fine. Yes. Everything else is none your business.
There you go. We'd like you to respect his privacy at this time.
Craig was unable to make it tonight.
Right.
Due to things.
I would just like to believe that it's foreign accent syndrome because I don't believe that's a real thing, even though the internet promises me that it is.
I was going to say, if you see a news story that in the Penn State area that there was a gentleman in his mid-40s running around in a homemade Dazzler costume, you'll understand what's going on.
That was definitely Craig.
Right, definitely. That you could bet the farm on as well.
All right, let's see what we got. If you're playing some PvP, Divine Champions is going on right now. Progression will get you a Kingpin. Placement will get you a Lockjaw. Oh, that'll also get you some Thors, and Placement will get you some Punishers. But they're way less exciting, so I try to just give you the meat. Oh, starting off, the Reality Gem season is going to be Army of One featuring the Punisher. Progression will get you the Lockjaw. Progression will get you those Punishers. And placement will get you a Battery Bird and a Colossus, if you're not quite as good. If you are playing Story Mode, you can look forward to Heart of Darkness here in the next day, I believe. 4-star progression will get you Punisher to the max. All the other ones will get you Battery Man. And the placement rewards, all I found were exciting question marks, which make me believe that it's going to be Hulk in a new outfit.
Right, it's a Hulk with a new hat.
Yeah, Hulk with a new hat. And if you don't do that well, you'll get Squirrel Girl instead. And that's all I got for those sorts of things. But then we got news. Lots and lots of news. First, the non-news, which is still kind of newsy. Reality Gem season is starting. The only changes that I could pin down was, as of right this second, Nightcrawler is in, Mordo is out. Pretty soon they're going to shift it back to Thursdays. This was the final Wednesday early edition.
Well, no, this is the first time they did it early on a Wednesday. Usually it coincides with the season change on Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, but they did it a day early for some reason.
Okay.
Which will benefit me later on today.
That's good. Hopefully you'll pull those Nightcrawlers, I guess.
Fingers crossed.
There have been some changes to the 5-star essential mission in story mode.
Hold on. Low grade.
Okay, I'm back. Had a little bit of a heart attack going on. Starting.
I'm coming for you, Martha.
Right. Starting in Unstable ISO 8, which already happened, the amount of points an essential 5-star mission awards will be different for each clearance level. So, yeah, depending on whether you play, it'll be not as difficult, but they'll be worth less. Also, if you do clearance level 7, the 5-star essential mission, the difficulty has gone down, and the points that you get for it have also gone down. It used to be at 255, and now it starts at 185. So that has gotten significantly cheaper. Now on to breaking news. I will take you to our correspondent in the field, Joe.
And well, by the way, Discord is going nuts because they're like, there's reasons for this. You need to talk about reasons.
For what?
Joe, you want to give us reasons?
Well, I'm not sure why the reasons for the changes of the 5-star essential missions is reasons. You know, I didn't really see a main reason there that impacted me because I just kind of mindlessly go through those PvE missions, especially the 5-star required cover. It's usually, as long as it's like non... As a, like, passive, like, jobber guys, your Magia goons, your people like that, I could pretty much, like, breeze through it with, even if I have, like, a low-grade 5-star, you know, like your recently added Daredevils and Gambits and the like that, you know, I just throw, you know, a Coulson, somebody else who's boosted, and have at it. But when it's people that are active, like your Venoms and people like that, they're a little bit harder, eat up some health packs. So if they're making those a little bit easier, giving you a little bit less points, but not affecting the rewards that you get, I'm okay with that. Maybe somebody else will fill us in there, because the other news is much more pressing, of course.
Yes.
One is that starting with the reality season on Thursday, we are going back to a points-only based system as opposed to a wins-based system. Now, with the previous season wrapping up, I was going to ask you guys, obviously, I know Ian doesn't really hit PvP all that hard. I know in the past, you would usually just like get, like, what, 300 points maybe sometimes? Just to get that token and that was it?
Right, if I'm feeling ambitious, yes.
So what were you doing this season where it was win-based?
Who, me?
Yes.
No change. I stopped playing.
Okay. What about you, Ray?
Yeah, go to Ray. Cut to Ray.
I spent a decent amount of the first part of the season trying to see how it would work out, trying to get the lower end rewards just like I would normally, and it took me longer. And then it got to the point where I'm like, all right, I need to push to do the simulator, and I got partway through, and I think I made it to about 32 wins and just quit. There was no way I was getting anywhere near 74 wins. And it was, I don't know how many wins I got overall. It was I just gave up. It was way less than I normally would play.
Right. Now, I do want to say right off the bat, the thing for someone like me, and I mentioned this, I know, because I was actually on, 5 weeks ago or whatever it was, when this was being announced that this is win-based going forward, and my lament was that it's not win-based, it's win and point-based, because, one, the overall score at the end of every PvP and at the end of the season, they don't accumulate all the wins that your entire alliance gets. Right. They accumulate all the points that your entire alliance gets. So you're essentially trying to fight toward two goals. And then on the flip side, the wins goal, they don't give you a breakdown. Like, if you go into the little tab for whatever season it is, it says overall where you are at currently with the wins, but at the end of every individual PvP, it would not say, here's how many wins you had. Once you were done, the amount of wins that you got, you couldn't see any longer. If that makes any sense. So
it does. I didn't notice that, like, because yeah. I gave up trying to figure out where I was and what I needed to do too quickly, but...
Right, so typically, with my roster, the way that it is, I would usually invest about an hour and a half, you know, toward the end of the PvP cycle that I would go into, and in that hour and a half, under the old rule set, I would typically very easily get to 900 points. Sometimes I would give it, like, a little extra of a push just to get to a nice round 1,000, and that would be it. In that same amount of time, I would still get 900 to 1,000 points, but I would only get to the old reward of what 650 points would get you. So I was missing out on the 725 reward, which was more HP, the 800 point reward, which was a 3-star cover, the 250 or the 850 reward, which was another PvP token, and the 900 point reward, which was a 4-star cover, for the same amount of time and the same amount of points that I was getting.
Yeah.
So for me, it was not like incentivized to be like, well, I got to play more to get, you know, the same amount of stuff that I would get by playing the exact amount that I just did. And I think there's got to be a happy medium in there somewhere. I know a lot of people were upset that they took CP out as a top placement individual reward, and they put it into, like, whether you got, like, top 5 overall or top 10 overall or whatever it was. And I know that was a lot tougher for a lot of people because even I think at maybe, you know, Ray and Ian's level, if you guys go in and check, just, you know, whenever you finish a normal season PvP, look at the top 10 and then look at the top 20. Like, right around, like, 15, you'll typically see, like, a huge swing in the points.
Right, sure.
So it gets to a point where, unless you were playing a ton, you just can't get to that next level. It's just virtually impossible. So many people were losing out on CP. Me, personally, I was just losing out on additional three and 4-star covers that I would typically get with ease. Now, going back to the old system where it's just points, I'm still investing my hour and a half. I'm going to get the 3-star cover I was missing out on, the extra token, the extra 4-star cover. So I'm right back to where I should have been. I think what they're going to do is they're still going to tweak the system, because for every, I'd say, like, 5 people that hated the win-based system, there was 2 that liked it. So they need to get it to be like 3-3, where 3 people like it, 3 people hate it, where it's a little bit closer to 50-50, as opposed to such a wide chasm between the people who liked it and the people who didn't like it. And I think that's what they're going to do. They just need to kind of rework, like, 20 wins gets you this reward, work the CP back into the individual rewards, and instead of going season by season where we're like, okay, we're going to keep the win-based, but we're just going to change it every season until we hopefully get it right, I think you're going to see a lot more in-game questions. I think you're going to see, and even in the announcement they mentioned, that they really took the feedback on this to heart. It says, we paid close attention to the feedback on the forums, Reddit, surveys, conversations through customer support, and here on the forums, and that's why they've decided to go back to the points-based. And they did say that we may try another change down the road, but until then, we'll keep listening to what you like and don't like about the verses.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach. Now, there was a comment we had a little bit ago about, is there a way of doing wins and points? So if you get either to those to the appropriate level, you could get the reward. But I don't know, that seems like it's a little bit more work in the coding than it really needs to be. Like, they can find a happy medium that's not literally using both systems. So in any case, yeah, big news. I'm looking forward to a new season with points again.
As am I. It's one less thing for me to keep track of, because on all my dumb spreadsheets, I had to have been keeping track of points and wins. And then if I didn't catch the wins, I'd be like, all right, I got to do my Gazintas. Okay, which one did I miss? Okay, I have this many wins in the Shield Simulator. It says my total is this. And I'm doing all this stupid math that I don't have to do. But that's like the mindset that I'm in that I have to fix.
You and your crazy spreadsheets. That's too much, man.
It's... It's just enough for me to keep me from going insane.
Okay.
Yeah, so my takeaway from that, at least the latter part of how they're making the adjustments, what I heard was, so what you're saying, Joe, is I shouldn't necessarily dump the pie segment. I should just tweak it until I get to 50% liking it and 50% hating it.
Well, I think what you should do is you should get rid of the pie segment, tweak it behind the scenes, and then maybe put it at the very front of the show or at the very end of the show so people who may not like it could very easily avoid it.
I see where you're going with that. That's not bad. I will consider that. There was other breaking news.
Okay, so the other breaking news is, as Ian had mentioned, that the top placement reward in the next PvP, or PvE rather, of Hearts of Darkness is Hulk's new hat. And it's actually called Hulk the Main Event, based on his appearance in the critically acclaimed film Thor Ragnarok. So, here are Hulk's powers. He has a green ability, which is a passive called Grand Entrance. When he enters the arena, you destroy 4 random tiles that you do not get AP from, and he swaps a random pair of tiles. As the levels go up, he destroys more random tiles at the start of battle, 5 to 6 to 7. Then when he's at level 5, not only is he destroying 7 random tiles, he's also swapping 2 random pairs at the start of the turn.
Of every turn?
The swapping the tiles is at every turn. The destroying the tiles is at the beginning of the match.
Oh, okay.
His next is a purple called Gamma Power Bomb. It is 14 purple. Hulk channels his inner wrestling superstar brother, grabs his opponent, and slams them to the ground, dealing damage and creating critical tiles. He starts out doing 611 damage and creating 2 critical tiles. Then it goes up to 1,092 damage, 3 critical tiles, 1,278 damage, 4 critical tiles, 1,944 damage, and 5 critical tiles. And then at level 5, he's still doing 5 random crit tiles, and he's doing 3,573 damage.
And that's 3,573 at level 70. That is going to be a significant amount of damage, it seems, with 5 critical tiles.
Oh, yes. If you pair him with folks that make critical tiles, say, all the way down to a 1-star Spider-Man, that could be very damaging.
Right. Then doesn't 2-star Bullseye have some sort of ability where if there are 5 or more critical tiles on the board, he does a lot of extra damage?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that just got nerfed. Sorry, guys.
And then his final is yellow, which is called The Crowd Goes Wild, which costs 12 AP. Hulk roars at the crowd. They roar back to him. This causes him to create fortified countdown tiles that do one of the following: deal damage, gain AP, or health. And the way that all breaks down is at level 1, it'll do 111 damage to the enemy team, give Hulk 204 health, or gain 2 random AP. And it's not like and, it's or. It's going to do one of these 3 things and appears to be like at random.
Yeah.
Then level 2, it's 156 damage to the enemy team, a burst of 287 health. Then it's creating 4 tiles as opposed to 3 at the next level. Then it's 217 damage to the enemy team, or 399 health, and then at the top, level 5, it creates 5 countdown tiles that are fortified, deals 278 damage for each of the tiles to the enemy team, and 510 health back to the Hulk. And obviously, these are all at, you know, level 70 as he progresses upwards. It's a very interesting take on Hulk powers, especially with the countdown tiles.
Yeah, yeah. Those are kind of weird to me, but more than kind of. Those are weird to me.
Right, so obviously with Hulk getting introduced, this is going to be in-game as of you listening to this episode. You'll be able to get him out of Hearts of Darkness tokens. Then starting on the 19th, which I think is Sunday, is the Hulk and Friends store opens up, which is going to run alongside his PvE, which is going to be Webbed Wonder. And it appears as though he is going to be the next PvP after Army of One 3-star Punisher.
Oh, okay.
Also alongside this, they're doing another S.H.I.E.L.D. training to get another Hulk cover, perhaps. And then starting Friday, they're going to do the Sakaar Arena lightning round gimmicks with Hulk people alongside Thor people boosted.
Oh, interesting. I could try that again.
Yeah.
So lots of opportunity to get ISO, lots of opportunity to hopefully get some Hulk covers, since he's only a 4-star and you don't have to, you know, run your CP. Speaking of which, as I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, Monday is when Thor enters latest Legends tokens and Spider-Man goes out. If you're one of those type of people.
If, and I'm curious people's opinion on that, because I think a lot of people are going, oh man, I haven't got my Spider-Man covered yet. And are also thinking, yeah, Thor isn't really as good as Spider-Man. So I think there's a lot of people going, aw. But then there's a whole bunch of people who really want the new Thor and are happy about it. So I don't know. I think I'm in the latter. I really want the new Thor.
We'll get into that a little bit later on toward another segment on the show.
Ooh. Teaser for later.
Maybe, right, because this is a radio station. It's not like a podcast. We have to sweep the quarter hour and tease through the commercial breaks.
Right, that makes sense. Since Joe is on this show and I am feeling my way around potential new or replacement segments, what do you think about the new Runaways show?
I'm excited to watch it. I just hopefully have to have time to watch it.
Okay.
I've moved Walking Dead to the back burner of things, and I guess Runaways is going to be on Hulu, and it's going to be released, like, weekly, correct?
That seems likely. That seems to be the idea. They're doing that in Future Man and all of their shows.
I'm definitely going to want to watch it, because I'm a big fan of the comic book series.
It was excellent.
The original 18 issues by Brian K. Vaughan
right.
Were really, really good. And then, you know, diminishing returns as it's returned. The new series, which is only on issue 3, is enjoyable to date, but it's still one of those things. It's like, oh, we're rebuilding the team, you know? It's
I did not know that they even brought it back. After Vaughn jumped ship, so did I. But that original run was gold.
Yep, it's probably some of the best 18, like, it's a very good self-contained. If those are the only issues of Runaways that you've ever read, you're getting a very good story in there.
For sure. Yeah, I was excited. I had no idea that was even in the works. I do not stay plugged into that sort of thing. But I had been watching some, Hulu recently, and they're like, watch our shows! And I was like, well, what do you want me to watch? They're like, try Runaways. I was like, okay. Of course I will.
It hasn't started yet, has it?
No, Runaways is not. That's probably, I didn't even look at the date for it. They just know that it's coming up. I can't keep pace with everything. I have already pulled the plug on Walking Dead. It's just not, I don't know. It got darker than I could handle.
I haven't pulled the plug on Walking Dead, but it's kind of fallen by the wayside of priority shows to watch. I know you guys, for the most part, weren't huge fans of Stranger Things, but I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I really was.
Yeah. Okay, it was Craig with his poo-poo.
Yeah. That is definitely Craig, because I'm back into it. I just watched episodes 1 and 2, and that'll be my new, you know, once or twice a week with my wife, something to sit down and enjoy together.
Ray, have you watched Stranger Things 2 yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, watch the whole thing.
Okay, so, not to give too much away, since Ian has only watched the first 2 episodes. Episode 3, big things happen. Episode 4, big things happen. And then let's come back and talk after you watch episode 7.
Okay. All right. I'm on board either way, and I'm excited. You know, it took some, I'm glad I had 2 slow episodes to get back into it, because I had recently, at least as recently as last year, you know, watched season 1. And then when season 2 started, I was like, wait a minute, I didn't know that, I don't know any of the characters' names or anything that happens on that show. But let's say, what's Dyer's character's name? The sister? Not Will's sister, but Mike's sister.
Oh, my goodness.
Nancy?
Nancy! I thought Nancy had gotten together with Will's brother, but now she's back together with boyfriend.
Right. Yeah, they didn't actually get together. They did stuff together, like defeated the creature, and then and then at the very end of the last episode, she was back with the boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Same thing. And then when I saw Sean Astin.
Oh yeah.
That bums me out to see that the rest of the world is getting old right along with me.
Like not when he came, Winona Ryder, apparently.
No, she looks incredible. She's fantastic and ageless. But when Sean walked onto the screen at first, like, I almost said, ooh, it's Patton Oswalt.
Oh, poor Sean. That would be awesome, but And I'll say this, I did not recognize that the doctor was Paul Reiser at first.
Holy smokes, I know!
Because I always skip, like, you know, it gives you the option to, like, skip the opening credits. Right. Like, I don't need to see the opening credits, I want to get to the show, come on. So I didn't even see his name come up in the credits, and it took me a couple episodes, I'm like, wait a minute, that's Paul Reiser! No. Oh, he's old!
It did not take me any amount of time, I immediately was having flashback to Aliens.
Well, and again, Ray, you finished the whole thing, I ended up watching it by myself. And I didn't get a chance to watch it with my wife. We watched the first one together, and she's like, oh, man, you finished it? I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, I still want to watch it. I'm like, I want to watch it again.
Nice.
And I even went as far to watch the Beyond Stranger Things, like the behind-the-scenes-y sort of things.
I only watched the first one.
Just because I wanted more.
Wow.
I don't typically watch those things. I typically hate those things. But after I was done with the last episode, I'm like, I want more. And they're like, oh, you want more? And I'm like, yes, I do. And they're like, here they are. And it's like interviews with the cast. And, you know, it's hosted by the guy who played the Dean from Community, who I'm a fan of. I can't remember his name right now.
I don't know his name either, but I do enjoy him.
Right. He's a delight. If you've ever watched Mike Tyson's Mysteries.
He is on that. Isn't he the ghost?
He is the ghost on that, yes.
Right.
Oh, that show's a delight as well.
Craig loves that show, so I don't watch it much, but I have heard good things. But what was my...
Runaway starts next Tuesday, the 21st.
Ooh, that's soon.
Yes.
Okay.
Dean from Community is Jim Rash.
There you go.
Yep.
Thank you, Discord.
Okay. Oh, my only mild complaint about this Stranger Things season 2. Again, and maybe it was just me because I was, you know, they let me know what was going on and when it was going on. But this, the work that they did in the first two episodes to hammer home the setting, I was like, hey, so what year's this set in? Like every lawn had a 1984 sign in it. Every window had a 1984 sign in it. I was like, I get it. It's set in 84. Just get on with it. But, it was weird because I brought that up after we watched it, and my wife was like, oh, I didn't even notice. I was like, all right, let's put that to rest. And hey, Ian, what time is it? Why, it's time for pie, me. Thanks for bringing it up. All right, this week's pie.
High five.
This week's pie is Derby Pie, which was brought to my attention by one of the listeners as something good coming from the South. And, it seems accurate. It sounds yummy. It's a chocolate walnut pie. It's just a standard tart shell, chocolate chips, walnuts mixing together, do some filling, do kind of a crumble top. It got invented down in Georgia. I think that's where they came up with the name. I had done some research on it, and the internet was like, nah, they just pulled names out of a hat randomly and decided that was the name of the pie. And I was like, that's not a good story. So we'll say that it was named after the Kentucky Derby because that it was founded at the Montrose Inn down in Kentucky. But yeah, it suggests that you can substitute pecans.
Don't do that.
I would not do that. You get such a meatier nut with the walnut. I think it adds a much better flavor to the pie. So I would say, yes, this does look like some good pie that originated in the South. I would love to give Derby Pie a try.
So I'm going to say that I am not a big fan of having nuts. And if I'm eating nuts, I want them by themselves.
Okay.
This makes me interested. I would give this a try. I wouldn't be overly hopeful, but I would give this a try.
at least they have your attention.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So there you go. Derby Pie, chocolate walnut tart pie. Oh my goodness, it's time for listener comments, brought to you as always by everybody's favorite mailman, Willie Lumpkin.
Thanks, Willie.
Yeah, what's in the mailbag, Ray?
First, I have a couple other comments from Discord. UNC Samurai said that the only upside to the Wind's base season was the drop-off in play made it a lot easier for my hybrid alliance to safely stay in the top 100. And Skippy KGD said, hashtag save the pies. Just throwing it out there.
Thanks, Skippy.
Flynn's Arcade said, gentlemen, he had a question that he sent directly to us. I recently slapped down a Ben Franklin and bought a Stark salary bundle of hero points from the store. I noticed after getting it that Stark himself started showing up with extra bonuses, popping on the screen, saying, hey, thanks for the support. Here's something extra. This is quite nice. He basically asked, do we know if these rewards are set for a certain amount of time, like 100 times before they run out, or time frame, that sort of thing? My understanding is if you buy anything, you get the Stark, what is it, intercepts? For,
the shield intercepts, yes.
For 28 days, roughly a month.
Right. It's kind of tied into the schedule of the VIP.
Correct.
Because it's at 28 days, so he's going to get those shield intercepts. They claim that you can get up to 40 in a single day, depending on how much that you play. They happen at random completely of when you get them and what you get from them. You get them during that 28-day cycle, whether you slap down $100 for a Stark salary or you spend $2 once every 28 days.
Right. If you do the VIP, that gets you the VIP awards as well as the intercepts the entire time. So
correct.
Same deal.
That couldn't have been better. I had been dying to ask that question, but like all good things, I'm afraid to say it on the show because I didn't want them to take it away from me. Because I have been getting those same surprise rewards as soon as I bought that those hero points / ISO combo off of Steam recently. Mm-hmm. I'd been getting the shield intercepts, and I was like, ooh, where'd these come from? I love these. Right, and they do. They have quite a range. I mean, yeah. they seem to be all the way from, like, you know, one ISO to
one
CP
ISO.
Or 100 hero points.
I don't think you've ever seen one ISO.
No, it's... I would be really happy if that happened, though.
That would be the saddest thing ever.
That would be worth a screenshot.
So, seriously.
The higher-end stuff was impressive.
Yeah, if you don't want to, like, waste, you know, whatever you had purchased through the Steam sale, you know, when that 28 days is up, you know, $2 a month, you know, maybe that's enough for you to keep you invested. And I say that both to definitely... you, Ian, and also the royal you listening.
Right.
Absolutely. Hey, so UNC Samurai said, ask Joe if he has ever seen anyone get a shield intercept from opening tokens or a daily resupply.
I have sometimes glitched and gotten them from doing like a daily Deadpool token, like opening up a taco, and then I'll open up a taco and it'll just like randomly pop up as a shield intercept. It's maybe happened twice, and I think it's just a glitch tied into a glitch.
Interesting. That answer completely surprised me and took me back, but okay.
I think we've even seen people, you know, like where you get that weird glitch where you'll get a taco token or you'll get like a PvE token that's like just from a vault, and it'll say, oh, do you want to send this to three of your Facebook friends?
Right.
But then you do it and it doesn't send it to them, whereas this, you get that token or you open that token and it'll say shield intercept and you'll actually get the shield intercept.
Interesting.
It's kind of like whatever that logic is that makes that happen every, like, once in a great while, that's, you know, in that same, I guess, logic.
Right. Or lack of logic or a slight mistake.
Something.
Moving on, Norman B616 said, for many years, pie has mercilessly been forced to take a backseat to cake, cupcakes, and cookies. Now, thanks in large part to this delightful weekly exploration of pie-related topics, pie is receiving the attention it so richly deserves.
Oh, Norman, you're on my love list.
Is this going to be a pie-based mail segment?
It is. This is the pie-based mail segment. AstroMonkey9 says, how much do I have to increase my donation to become the sponsor or patron of the pie segment to ensure that it stays regardless of the poll results?
Oh my god, you're my personal hero now.
This I may have best, downvoted that best. Comment on Reddit.
That's okay. It was canceled by my upvote.
Dances with Weevil says, another great episode. The pie segment is a yes for me. Pies. he also wanted to give, he said he loved the inadvertent shout out to Young Justice with the whelmed discussion. Our discussion was almost point by point the conversation Robin has had with the team in the first episode. The whelming thing is pretty much a constant gag in the show. Would have never known, but there you go. And by the way, Craig is wrong. Whelm is a thing.
Yeah, we know that Craig is wrong. And that show, by the way, definitely dope. If they could bring that back for a third season, I would be super happy.
There's been talk. It's one of those things where it's a will they, won't they. It gets announced that they're going to start doing it. They'll interview some of the voice cast, and they'll say, yeah, we're doing something. And then it kind of sort of never happens. But it's the fact that they're even talking about it gives me hope.
Mm, sure. D-Wing Illinois mentioned, I gotta tell you, I named the episode, I think this was Ian's suggestion, the last week's episode was entitled The Music in Craig's Head.
Right, because he kept hearing something playing and right. no one else heard yeah. it.
You have to know that to understand his comments. He said, D-Wing Illinois again, he said, C's title of episode moves slowly away from the play button, curls into a ball in a corner, and rocks back and forth until this terror subsides.
Oh, no, I'm sure Craig, with the voices that Craig hears are just as normal as the voices you or I or any other sane person hears, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just angrier.
Junda said, great editing on this one. Hey, thanks. I don't remember what I edited in, but thanks. NG Beard said that he never expected his silly comment to garner so much attention because he, you remember, he is the one who originally said, do we have to do pies every week?
Right.
He said, wow.
Oh, I know my nemesis's handle.
He says, while I'm on a hot streak, as someone who works in real-life derailments as a track engineer for a railroad, wow, can I also get a poll started against Craig's ridiculous derailments? Derailments are serious business, not to be taken lightly. Energy Beard.
Man, what? Without pies and the derailments, what will the show have left?
Like the game?
That's what I'm saying. What do I have left if I don't have the pie segment? I'll have to focus on a game that I play just enough to not get kicked out of my own alliance, which I'm a leader of.
You know, they can't kick you out if you're a leader.
Yeah, I know, but they should be able to. I feel like if the other two founders came to me and said, Ian, you haven't played in like 2 weeks, you're making everybody else feel lazy and look bad. Please either demote yourself or start playing again. I would have to choose one.
Remember when Pete quit? When Pete rage quit?
Yes.
That sounds familiar.
Over the weekend, he's just like, I'm done, I'm out. But the problem was he was a commander in the Alliance, and he had deleted the game from his phone. Oh. So we couldn't get rid of him because he was a commander. So I had to contact him and ask him if he could please reinstall the game, go through those couple missions so it'll reload his game into, like, his profile into the game so that he can remove himself from the Alliance. I think Pete was very mad at me for making him do that.
That is a lot of work after a rage quit.
But yeah, I was going to say, but he did it.
But he did it, because Pete's a good guy at the end of the day.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. Even though he muscled me out of his fantasy football league and we're lifelong nemesis now.
Oh, he
is overall a great guy. No, I have no idea. We were in a league together 1 year and I don't know if it never restarted or if I have no idea what has become of that league or why I'm not in it anymore, but it was a lot of fun and I appreciate that he included me in any capacity.
He doesn't talk about it on Fresher in Parlance, but I will make sure to make a point to ask him about it when I comment on the show.
Ooh, thanks. I would always like to know more. Which reminds me, this is only a small derailment, Energy Beard, my nemesis. But, so we also have your weekly Pick'em League.
Yes.
Where you and I are surprisingly close as far as our accuracy. We're both right around, I want to say we're right around 74%.
Let me look.
I think is respectable. Craig, on the other hand, mm-hmm. is at a stunning 91%.
Oh, how sad.
It broke my heart to see right. how good he was doing. Like
he's knotted up with a bunch of people there yeah. at that 91%. I think you're up on me. What's your name in there?
Ian McMeat, probably.
Ian McMeat. I thought that's what it was. I was looking for, like, So Is Your Face or one of your other, you know, code names. Right. But you know the gimmick of my picks, right?
I don't. I assume you use mascots.
No, my son picks them.
Oh, good on him.
He's been doing it for the last 3 years. You know, obviously when he was, you know, 2 going into 3, it was much cuter. Because right. now, being 6, I have the thing in front of me. And just last week when we're doing the picks, he goes, I just want to pick the ones that have the biggest green bars.
Okay.
He's sort of figured it out. And I think it was because, like, 2 weeks ago, I think we ended up with 3 correct. And this past week, we ended up with 11 correct. So he's like, oh, let's just keep doing it this way. I'm like, all right. Hang on. Speak of the devil. Hello, boy.
Hello, Dad.
Nobody could hear you, but you can't hear them, but they could hear you.
There you go.
We're talking about Puzzle Quest. Is there anything you want to say to everybody listening?
That sounds like instant shyness.
He's a natural born performer, unless it's in front of a camera or microphone.
There you go.
What bit?
So apparently my editing skills was in reference to the fact that Ian disappeared from the internet for a while.
Oh, right.
I had completely forgotten about that.
I did forget about that as well. And you and Craig did kind of have a back and forth, and but you really shortened the amount of time that I was missing.
Yeah, you weren't gone that long, according to the edited show.
Right.
There are questions on Discord saying, who is Pete? Anyway, D-Wing Illinois, he came back and said that he got over his terror of clicking on the play button, and said, in addition to Ian's Venn diagram, can we have a list of the things that you make... that make you a bad person in Ian's eyes. It seems to be quite extensive.
It is. That list sounds like work.
But I don't think you could. I don't think you could list it, because I think if you tried to remember all of the things that you've said that make someone a bad person, you would probably forget some, and then in thinking of those, you would think of new ones. And then those would make you think of other new ones. Then you would get mad at yourself because you forgot other ones. And then weeks later, you would remember something else. And now the diagram needs to be completely redone.
Yeah. Well, the Venn diagram's fine, but the list of things that make you a bad person, it's you're right. It's like an organic living creature. It has to just remain fluid and out in the universe. And people just need to know that they are more than likely bad people.
I think the bad people know who they are.
They should. Shame.
So I have to mention this. Donkey T said, Tiny Joe made his debut. And Skippy KGT said, aw.
Well, they had to come and report to me that my wife forgot to set the timer, and they're an hour past his bedtime because they were playing Mario Odyssey. And also, my wife exploded a hairdryer. So everyone's alive and safe. that was important information he had to come in and tell me.
And it is. I'm glad that everyone's alive and safe.
Me too.
I love... I'm a newer parent than you, so I've just now, you know, maybe a year ago discovering the value of setting a timer.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Buddy, it's not me. It's the timer.
Yep.
There's nothing I can do. We just have to stop.
One of the good things about the Switch is you can download, like, the parental control app. So not only can you see how long they've been playing, you could send messages onto the screen saying, like, it's time to turn it off. And then you can even turn the Switch off from your phone with that app.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is handy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad that you guys settled on the Switch as opposed to living in Walmart.
Oh, no. He still wants to go to Walmart and play Mario Odyssey, even though he has a Switch and owns Mario Odyssey. It's time to go to the grocery store. It's like, oh, let's go to the grocery store at Walmart. Why? I want to play Mario Odyssey. You have it at home. I know.
It's like owning an album, but then hearing a song on the radio. You still enjoy the song?
It's owning the album and then taping the song off the radio.
All right. Scrognog Guten Tag. Sorry, I always pause and wait for Craig to repeat it. He asks, does anyone know what Ian's avatar is when they do YouTube live streams? It looks like an orange fish with a beard and a hat. I know Craig is B. Gracer and Ray is the South Park-style avatar, but what is Ian?
Oh, all right. There at the very inception of Adult Swim, before it was its own, like, kind of channel thing that it is now, it was, like, 2 hours on Saturday nights on Cartoon Network. And the first show that premiered was The Brack Show, which was Brack from Space Goes Coast to Coast. And it was centered around him and his family and Zorak. And the plot of the first episode was about him babysitting his neighbor Thundercleese's goldfish. And the goldfish was named Don Tickles. And he kills Don Tickles and attempts to swap him out with his twin brother, who is that fish in my profile.
The imitation Don Tickles.
Just from the art design, I had an inkling that it was an Adult Swim thing.
It indeed is. So that fish there is brother Don Tickles, Notary Public.
There you go. There's your answer.
Right.
slight correction from last episode. Not really a correction, but BBF2 said Moon Knight's black only creates enemy tiles if there are less than 5 covers on your black. So anyone who has them champ tends to have them at like a 5-3-5, so there are no drawbacks to using the black, although you're still going to want to take the enemy down so that you get the healing from the attack. So there you go, just to be clear. And finally, Jordan from Jersey said, pie segment. I know, back on pie. I really enjoy this segment. I'm not even much of a pie guy.
Wow. Thanks, Jordan. I didn't see that coming. I thought he was going to be a pie naysayer. I don't know why. Like, I don't know him well enough or at all to think that he would lean one way or the other on pie. But Thanks, Ray. That was sure. a boost. I was feeling really down about the poll on our website because I was like, really? Really, guys? Like, I genuinely, my absolute favorite portion of the show and 3.5 minutes of your time once a week is just too much to ask. I'll just stop. Yeah, I know.
I speak for the 59%.
I support you guys. I will just give you boring, monotone, angry Ian every week, and I'll only talk about the show and numbers.
Well, again, I know folks don't like the derailments, but sometimes a derailment, an unplanned derailment is fine, even though someone asked me if I can incorporate some wrestling talk into this. as of the recording of today's episode, today would have been the 65th birthday of Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh,
rest in peace, Macho Man, one of the greatest greatest entertainers of all time. Not even a wrestler. Saying he was just a wrestler is doing him a disservice.
I saw a wrestling joke that I have to ask. Wrestling is a very strange sport. It's men without pants fighting over a belt.
Right. It's not a belt. It's a title.
Yeah, it's true.
I was doing the Vince walk in my chair, by the way.
That made it even
belt
better.
Belt is a no-no word. You can't say that they're fighting over a belt. You have to say they're fighting over a title or a championship or Vince yells at you.
Okay. Oh, I can see where he's coming from. That's weird. I had wrestling on my mind today, and I don't know why. I was thinking about some of the mid-90s to early 2000s wrestling that they enjoyed back when wrestling was still rated R.
No, you know, even though it's PG these days, it's still a lot of fun. You know,
I'm not saying that the quality has diminished. I'm just saying there is no longer a character with a finish move called the Ho Train.
That's true.
That really motivated me back in the day.
Who would come to the ring with ladies of the evening from the local adult establishment.
Exactly.
Yes. People would have their little sing-songy things that they would do before the match.
They really would. They had a lot of, there was a lot of performance back then.
Right. And just as a one last note before we get back to the game and the mailbag and everything else, the Road Dog, who I'm sure you remember, Ian.
Oh, well.
Is the head guy for SmackDown. He's like in charge of the entire SmackDown TV show.
Oh, snap. He has a job and he still is employed?
Absolutely. He is a man of much power in the world wrestling entertainment.
Like, legitimately, or his character is?
He is a person. He's not an on-air character, but it's like Vince is number one. Anyone else with a McMahon last name is number two.
Right.
Triple H is number three. And then right underneath him is like the Road Dog.
Really?
Yes.
Good on him. I thought he had had a serious substance abuse problem that had kept him out of things for a while.
He's had several, but he's doing much better now.
Wow. Good for him.
Yes.
Because his character was dumb. But he's like, I liked, like the New Age Outlaws as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Was a good concept, but I mean, they were like, I don't know, they just seemed like they got plucked out of thin air, and I was like, one guy, you know, was the Road Dog, and the other guy showed you his butt. They were awesome, but they were a terrible team in retrospect.
Yes, they a lot of that era doesn't hold up if you watch it with 2017 eyes. It's best to just think back and remember, like, I remember DX. That was an enjoyable thing.
It really was.
That time when they made fun of the Nation of Domination, they were all in blackface. Yeah, let's not revisit that. Let's not think about that anymore.
So I have to say that I'm okay with the derailments, except that, holy crap, when Joe, when you're on, the derailments, such a long show. Such a long show.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, and the other thing I don't like about derailments is usually they happen when I'm halfway through a sentence and it's Craig doing it.
I do attempt to wait until you're done with a thought. I do at least pay you that courtesy.
Craig does not. It's one of his many charms.
He just keeps singing.
I promise I'm done, unless somebody else blows something up at my house.
The only other thing I have in the mailbag is again from Jordan from Jersey. He said that the pine tree story has him on cones and needles.
Oh, yes, that's the mystery. I can't wait. And Craig not being Craig's here, not... it's one more week. We have to wait.
I know the story, but I just can't do it justice, and I don't want to steal his thunder. Not that it's really thunderous, but...
No.
Can I ask, does it involve Taylor Swift?
No, it is nowhere near that thunderous.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know how it would, but...
Right. If it did, I would be all ears.
They're in the Reading area. Her parents, her family, own a very large chain of Christmas tree farms. And I wasn't sure if perhaps the Christmas trees that Craig was talking about that are going to Rockefeller Center are somehow related to Taylor Swift's family that own those chain of Christmas tree farms.
No, in no way. It's not even coming from Christmas Tree Farm. It was coming from the front of a house that I actually used to rent here in town.
Oh!
Ooh. Oh, man, I can't wait till next week or possibly the week after that.
Hopefully not, though. Hopefully it's next week.
Yeah, who knows? We'll never know, but you reeled me back in with the tree story.
Yeah.
I believe you said that was the end of the comments.
That is. Thanks, Lumpy.
Yeah. Hey, Joe.
Yes?
What time is it?
It is time for me to pump you up.
All right. And boosted characters of the week brought to you by Joe.
So, unfortunately, it's a sad state of affairs for boosted characters this week. You get such 3-star winners as Psylocke, Ragnarok, and Colossus. All right, so I'm leading with the kind of bummy characters. Quicksilver's not terrible, but Iron Fist, 3-star Iron Fist is boosted. He's fun. I like 3-star Iron Fist. You could pair him with lots of people. People who make purple, people who make black, so he could boost up his purple, so you don't need to make black anymore. He could generate tons and tons of strike tiles, and he's constantly throwing out an attack tile every turn. 3-star Iron Fist is a solid top 5 3-star character.
Ooh.
4-star, on the other hand, again, not the greatest. Elektra. Again, Elektra, another one of those characters that the computer seems to play a little bit better than I can get working. Winter Soldier, again, he's kind of like a light-ish Nick Fury. It's like Nick Fury is one of the older 4-star characters, and he could seem to do, even with his recent rework, can kind of sort of do a lot of the same stuff that Winter Soldier does, but a little bit better. But I know when boosted, Winter Soldier's damage is just like off the charts. Speaking of off the charts, Craig's favorite 4-star character, Jane Foster Thor, is boosted this week. And there's so many people now in the game that make charge tiles. All the, you know, you got your Ragnarok, sure, he's a bum who makes charge tiles, but you pair him with Lady Thor and somebody else who makes charge tiles. Everyone from Lockjaw to Black Bolt, if you've got him, anyone else. And you could just be doing so much damage with her smite. So that's a really good little cohesiveness that you can do there. Nova is another one. I know a lot of people don't like little pew-pew boy, but a guy who can make strike tiles for so super cheap and just keep spitting them out and spitting them out and spitting them out every turn. And when he can knock people into the sky, I love the Rocket Man animation. I really do. So again, he's another one where it's just like he's making strike tiles. People who get positives for having more and more strike tiles on the board. You know, you pair him up with a random Guardians of the Galaxy type character, your Rocket Raccoon, and like another Guardians of the Galaxy person, and you're just spitting strike tiles out all over the place. However, top of the food chain, boosted in the 4-star, my personal favorite 4-star, Professor X, a.k.a. Melonhead.
Really?
I love Professor X. He is when, you know, on our little Facebook group, Tim every now and then will do the ask everyone to rank the 4-stars, the 5-stars, the 3-stars, and kind of start a little discussion about those sort of things. I always vote Professor X as my favorite, just because he's a sentimental favorite for me. He could do so much for so little. Yes, he is one of the squishiest characters in the game.
True.
But he does so much. You pair him up with someone who has a little bit stronger of a blue than he does, and you get one attack tile out there, and you start making some blue matches, those tiles are going to get more powerful once he's invisible, of course. Now, this is something that I learned. A good combo is Professor X and Bagman.
Of course so, it is.
Of course it is. You build up your thing, you get your invisibility tile out for Professor X, and you build up a little bit more purple. Then you have Bagman web up that tile, the original invisibility tile. It no longer is invisible. You throw out a second invisibility tile. Now you've got double the chances to stay invisible.
I don't know how Anyone? That works. I'm totally lost. How does Bagman do that?
Yeah, Bagman does something?
He has a power that, you know how, or like a Sue Storm, where like they'll force bubble something, and it doesn't work while it's force bubbled.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so Bagman has a power like that, where he could web something, and it no longer works while it's that web.
I have seen that, yeah.
Right, So you do that with a Sue Storm type character, a Bagman character, where you web up or you force bubble the initial invisibility tile, throw a second one out, get rid of the web, or even let the other guy get rid of the web, you're fine. You've got two invisibility tokens. You've broken the system.
Donkey Teeth says, Joe is just trolling us.
I'm not trolling. I promise you. I love Professor X. He's one of my favorite characters. Back in my initial just testing the waters of five stars, before Thanos was a thing. The biggest problem with Professor X, I'll admit, is in a world where so many people, at least when I play in like PvP, every team is Champ Black Panther, Champ Thanos, and like the giveaway character of whoever the three star is, right? Professor X could be boosted to the moon, and he's not beating that team in any way, shape, or form. Right. But if you're in that transition stage, and you're not seeing those sort of crazy teams like that, play with Professor X. Try him out. Put him with people that he has color schemes with, or that he doesn't have any color schemes with. Because, like, you know, I mentioned before, like, Nova, right? Nova's going to put out a bunch of... He's got red, he's got yellow, he's got black. You're making those matches. Every now and then you might make a purple. You get that invisibility token out. Every blue match from there on out is going to get boosted by Invisible Professor X. Every time your opponent, or every time you make a five star, so you pair Professor X with people who can manipulate tiles, or, you know, create multiple tiles, like anyone from Scarlet Witch, three star Black Widow, you know, go into the five star realm where you're looking at people like Coulson, like anyone who can manipulate tiles to make four star, or like five, match fives. Professor X is amazing. Now, on the other side of things, you, the royal you listening to the show, has been in a situation where the last character left on a team in a battle is an already invisible Professor X.
This is true.
Think back to those battles. You want to be on the other side of that battle where Professor X is your last character left and he's invisible and your opponent just can't get rid of that tile. You will win. I promise you, if Professor X, you can keep him invisible, and even if he's your last character, you will win the battle.
I'll have to tell you that in agreement that the highest tiles I've ever seen, Protect, Strike Tile, what have you, have been the ones boosted by Professor X. They get in the tens of thousands if it lasts long enough.
He's remarkable. Yeah. And again, I'm not trolling. If I was not seeing as much Black Panther and Thanos as much as I was, I would still be playing Professor X all the time, even not boosted in PvP.
That's a bold
but
statement.
But he's too squishy. He takes two hits and he's toast.
Personally, I'm going to really be playing the Goddess of Thunder. That's going to be my favorite. She is, like you said, uber powerful with the charge tiles. I think that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. Elektra, right. I don't even know who to use with Elektra. Like, that's the problem. She's fine, but she doesn't work with anyone. Which is, I guess that's Elektra. So
those are your boosted characters of the week. And we have been here, and by we, I mean me, to pump you up.
Listen to you now and believe you later. Professor X and Bagman, they're the team to beat.
Listen, sometimes you got to do some different, think outside the box a little bit with these combinations. Listen, I live in a world where I just rostered a second Bagman because I already have one fully champed.
That sounds like an okay world.
No, this is the sad state of my life. I was playing a lightning round, and as a reward, three rewards in a row, I got Bagman covers.
It's a lot of Bagman.
It was the cosmos telling me I needed a second one.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't really understand needing the first one, but I'm just not going to argue with this one.
Right.
I am catching a lot of flack on Discord, though. Everyone's telling me that Elektra is not fine. She is way subpar. And that I am completely
we're just
wrong.
Trying to be polite. I'm not going to poo on every character that I don't like.
That is true.
Right, and again, she's not terrible. It's just her, I feel as though her recent rework was unnecessary. She was fine the way that she was. There's many more characters that need much more help, a little bit tweaking, a little bit more movement, a little bit something. And it was like a lateral move. They didn't make her worse, but they didn't make her better. They're just like, oh, let's see what this does. Well, it does the same thing. Moving on.
True story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I moved reward of the week to this segment because when we're talking about dying on the vine, it almost always overlaps rewards of the week. So I'd like to try that first.
There you go. Thinking ahead. The forward thinking Ian.
Holy smokes. Yeah. See, you give me this kind of power and I just go nuts. I don't recall any anything worth mentioning. I can't think of one single thing that's worth mentioning. I apologize. Continue.
I'm trying to...
Did you get anything good this week?
I'm trying to remember what I had. I don't think I've really opened much of anything, so I'm going to have to say no, I don't really know of any reward of the week.
I got a blue 4-star Cyclops from my daily resupply. That was pretty dope.
There you go. Oh, hey, there's something I've completely forgot about. I asked Ian earlier, and a couple other people contacted me about it, the Venn diagram. I have no idea what the Venn diagram was. I specifically remember the discussion that it was Ian saying something that things were dope and that they were something else and that there was a Venn diagram of an overlap. No idea what the other thing was.
Right. Because I don't either. Because, I mean, it's, I know it's obviously generic negative descriptor, but I don't know which one I used.
That is true. So if anybody remembers, or if you want to go back and listen to every episode, because I have no idea when this occurred. any help would be, does not approve? Is that all it was? Dope and does not approve? Are there things that are dope that you do not approve of?
Yeah, that could be very possible, because I know in the center, in the overlapping portion of the Venn diagram, were things like the internet, and that is most certainly dope, and I do not approve of it in any way.
There you go. All right, so I'll hand it over to Chloe, because she already sent me a Venn diagram graphic, so... There you go. Thanks, UNC Samurai, the D'Artagnan to our Buzzle Warriors 3.
Joe, did you get any good rewards this week?
No. It's been a lot of assorted 4-star covers here and there. I got Coulson, both from the normal PvE progression, plus I got the one that was in the vault. So Coulson is creeping up to be one of my higher end. He's actually my second most covered 4-star, behind Gwenpool, of course.
Okay.
Because Gwenpool is the queen. I can't not mention that.
That's fine. Sorry, I just think about how many Gwenpools I have and chuckle. The complete opposite. I couldn't have fewer Gwenpools, Joe.
She's level 323 for me.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of Gwenpool.
It is.
Although Agent Coulson...
A grayed out cover on my screen.
My Agent Coulson is catching up. I am getting nothing but Coulsons when I open stuff. He is now 4 levels higher than any of my other 4-stars.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, it is. Good for me.
He's really, really good. even when not boosted, paired with the right folks, I think you mentioned it last week when she was boosted, but even when not boosted, your folks like Medusa or 4-star Carol... who, do stuff with countdown tiles. Medusa's putting out a countdown tile every turn. That's going to help Coulson do some extra damage. You want to use Carol to throw out her countdown tile, that sort of thing. All the countdown tiles that he puts out. You get this new Hulk, who with his yellow power puts out all those the countdown tiles. You team him up with Coulson, and it's going to be a party.
Yeah, yeah. True story. Countdown heaven.
Oh, how are your vines?
That's a really good
question. I'll go last.
Okay, mine is, again, just like my rewards, mine is uninteresting. It is nothing but a collection of 2-star Wolverines and Storms, hoping that I will get 20 more hero points before they begin to expire.
Okay. Mine is a 23 hours left on a totally awesome Hulk. I need one cover that isn't green in order to save him, and I'm going to start... Tonight will be one of my splurges of opening until I get... someone.
Oh, wow.
It's going to either be one of his so that I can champ him, or I have two other characters, 2 other 4-stars that are really close, Bucky or Spider-Gwen. So I think it's going to be one of the 3 of those. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
So I have a red rogue that expires in about a day.
Sad.
With her 154 currently rostered.
Oh, extra sad.
Yes. And then I also have a green Lockjaw for my 345 Lockjaw. That one doesn't expire for another 10 days, so I've still got plenty of time there. However, that rogue, I really don't want to have to sell that. So, after you do, Craig, I'm going to cash in my 400 command points on the show in the hopes that I get another Spider-Man, some sort of 5-star, or at least... the yellow or blue Lockjaw that I need to champ him, or something so that I don't have to sell that red rogue cover.
Did you just accuse Ray of being Craig?
If I did, I apologize. That was the worst thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Worst insult ever.
1,000 apologies. Ray Once you do your splurge and I'm dumping my 400.
All right. Sounds
good.
Wow.
Things are going wild. I better just lead us right into that segment so that we have enough time to do all this token opening.
Yeah.
So let's get on to the opening of the tokens, brought to you as always by sponsor numero uno, this guy. That's this right. Guy. Opening of the tokens from this guy.
I'll go first. I'm going to open one. It's a latest legend. It's a good old-fashioned gambit eye-poking. Oh, nuts! It's a 5-star.
Oh, nuts!
Oh, snap! It's a gambit. Raging Cajun.
Do you have gambit yet? I don't recall.
I think I do. Oh, I think I am missing only 4 5-stars and 4 4-stars.
Okay.
I don't think Gambit is amongst them.
Gambit's, man, get him. He's amazing.
Yeah, Gambit's really good. It pains me to say, but he's really, really good.
I have him at a 200.
He is a cheater.
Dirty, rotten cheater. Could be. He's mostly just a cheater. All right, Ray, you said you're going to go first?
Sure. I've got
your quest for a chotally awesome Hulk?
I got a bunch of latest legends. The first one...
Do four, it, Doug.
4-star is a Yondu, but I got a bonus Lockjaw on the very first one. That's nice. Neither one of those will put me over. Second one is a 5-star. Good old stick-around Spider-Man.
Yeah!
Get him before he goes out of style. Next one is a... I clicked on it so fast, I barely was able to recognize that that was Kate Bishop. I'm clicking again. Hopefully not quite as fast this time. A Wasp, that'll go on the pile for her. Moon Knight with another bonus Lockjaw. Man.
Wow.
Ooh-hoo.
The next one is a Gamorpha, another 4-star leading the charge rogue. That might actually be bad for me because I think that's all I've got of her is a ton of leading the charge. Yeah, 116 now. So that makes me a little unhappy, but
nah.
Another 4-star. Sugar, you're going down, Rogue. That's nice.
126. Yeah. There you go.
I got a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
another 5-star. A stacked deck Gambit.
Hey, now.
Pretty good pull so far. Another 4-star Rocket and Groot. Pulling another one. Another Mockingbird Bombshell. I'm going to have to go sort through these soon. What's the percentage chance of 5-stars? Because I just got another one.
Oh, my right. goodness. It's supposed to be 1 in 7.
Aces and eights. Another Gambit cover.
Nice. I got 2 of those.
It's really nice. The next one is a Cloak and Dagger. Next one, Mockingbird. I'm getting a ton of Mockingbirds, too.
So wait, tell me about your goals in this again, because I feel like you're never going to get a chotally awesome Hulk out of a latest Legend token.
It's possible.
Is it? I thought it was a 0% chance.
Do you have him favorited? Or whatever you do? Bonus heroed?
You know, I think I had him and Lockjaw. I should probably change that.
There you go.
That would yep. that would have
that would have been that would have been 2 show covers already.
Yeah, it would have been. Wow. Why didn't you point this out sooner? Or why wasn't I smarter than this? All right. Now that that's done. Okay, 4-star. Riri Williams. I can't
say
that right.
It's so hard to say it the correct way.
I know. another 5-star. Another
Gambit.
Oh, my
goodness.
Raging Cajun.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, look at that. I got my hot dog stand. Totally awesome Hawk. There we go.
Hey, there you go.
And it ends.
And you got a ton of 5-stars.
Yeah. Amazing amounts.
Yeah, it was a truckload of Gambits. And a Spidey.
Yeah. That's nice. That got me all 3 colors, which I know doesn't give me the dirty rotten cheater, but my Gambit's at a 212 now, so...
That's awesome!
Yeah.
Just say no to 005 Gambits.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, but that was so many 5-stars. Just think that somewhere far, far away, Craig is just cursing your name in a silly foreign accent.
All right, well, I'm gonna whirl, see what I get. All right, starting out with a Miles. I'll take it. I have no choice. I can't, like, send them back. Hyde. Ooh, a Lockjaw. And it's not green. Woohoo, I can champ him. I should stop there. Ooh, but I got a bonus Coulson. Yay. Because the bonus Coulson will give me a latest Legends token, which we'll open up on the show here. But to be continued, as I'm just going through everything, hoping and praying... for a Spidey or some other 5-star with the luck like Ray had. There's a Hulkbuster. There's a Cyclops. There's another Lockjaw. Woohoo. So he's definitely getting champ tonight. Buddy. Cloak and Dagger.
Who's a good boy?
Ooh, it's purple. It's Spidey.
Yeah.
It's sticking around. Let's see what that puts him at. That. Oop, come here. My phone is too busy this evening. That puts him at 354, but we're going to keep going.
What's the goal now?
I want to be able to fully... I was hoping to be able to champ both Lockjaw and Rogue and okay. or get Spidey covers, so I got two out of the three. There's Quake. There's Sue. There's a Carol. We're almost done. Kingpin. Another Lockjaw. That's three Lockjaws. Woohoo! A Nightcrawler. Yeah. Red.
I can't wait to have him champed. He looks really cool.
I think I have him at 033 now. Which
Ooh, Nightcrawler
is,
or Lockjaw?
Nightcrawler.
Okay.
Gamorpha. And that's it. So I only got 1 5-star out of the whole mess, but I do have enough to champion Lockjaw. So yeah. Yippee-ki-yay for me.
So in addition to getting the Hulk cover that I needed, my Lockjaw is now at a 333. I can't imagine he got so evenly distributed, but there you go. And Mockingbird is up to a 524. Those are my big advances.
Huzzah!
Yeah.
That was very exciting.
We're going to call that a good night.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, this guy.
Thanks, that guy.
Yeah. That guy being this guy opened up some covers. Lots of 5-stars. All right, me, tell me about the podcast network. Well, that's the soon-to-be-named podcast network, available at soon-to-be-named-network.com or soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. We are a ever-growing collection of great podcasts to fill up your listening hours. You can check them all out at soon-to-be-named-network.com, or if you want a direct link to any of the individual shows, they are available on our homepage, puzzlewarriors3.com. Once again, it's the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com.
Only thing I want to mention real quick is on my dumb show, Longbox Heroes, we're having a contest where two people will win copies of the retailer-exclusive Quantum and Woody books, Quantum and Woody, which doesn't come out for another month, and you're also going to get two, the yellow and blue Clang wristbands with them as well. Go over to longboxheroes.com for information on how to win that. I'm not going to waste a ton of time telling that story here.
Okay. As a member of the podcast network, am I ineligible?
If you leave a comment if you write a comment for the show on iTunes and I randomly pick it, then you can win.
Okay, that's exciting. I'll check it out.
Thank you.
One final piece of news from Weyrith. The Sakaar Arena will switch between Hulk Lightning Rounds and Thor Lightning Rounds. Hulk Lightning Rounds will have Indestructible Hulk, Totally Awesome Hulk, the Main Event Hulk, and Bruce Banner Hulk boosted for the Hulk Lightning Round specifically.
Thank you for that.
It looks like the boosting will be variable depending on who's required. So
cool. Okay. So they will not be working in tandem. They will be alternating.
It seems like.
Okay. Well, if anybody else has anything, now's your chance.
I'm done. It's gone long enough. Shut it down. Oh,
all right, great. Yeah, that's it for this week. You can find our show, I believe, on iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic and anywhere else.
I don't know, but if you can't find it somewhere, let me know and I'll try and make it work.
Yeah, Ray will hook you up. So if you want to give us praise or give us money, there's many ways to do that. You can leave some comments on Reddit. You can leave comments on Podomatic. You can leave comments on Facebook. You could leave comments in the forums. You could probably Twitter at one of the three of us. I wouldn't pick me.
Puzzle Warriors 3, at Puzzle Warriors 3. Although nice. I will probably miss it as well. So
right. But you could give it a try.
Yeah.
It happens. Or if you would like to join the ever-growing ranks of our patrons, you can go over to patreon.com and support the show that way. I hear we've recently added 2 new patrons.
Oh, hey, yeah, we certainly did. I wanted to give them a shout-out. Thanks for reminding me.
No problem. That's why I'm here.
Chris Skippy has become a, what do we call it, planetary donor? I think so.
I don't remember
the levels, but Chris Skippy and El Zoof. So I wanted to give them a shout out. Hey, thanks for supporting the podcast.
Does he also have a Skippy sounding handle on Discord?
It is possible. Skippy KGT. It's possible. Yeah. Maybe. I have no way of confirming
if
that.
If he is, I like going into this, I really liked him. If it's that, if this is the case that he is both of these people, man, you're awesome. A friend of the show and a friend of Pi.
He says, Skippy KGT said, yes, it is me. Bring more Joe. Apparently, hey, thanks, you have Skippy. A fan.
Joe has many fans, as we've discovered.
Thanks for being a patron as well. These guys put on a good show, and, you know, every little bit helps.
Sure. Also, the big holiday shopping season is almost officially underway, if it is not already. And if you do any of your shopping through Amazon, we have an Amazon banner on our homepage. If you click on that link, it will take you to Amazon, and we will get, you know, a few shekels on the back end, and it will cost you no additional monies. So that is it. So goodbye for now. And remember, kids, the Mets number 18, 1984 through 1990. That was especially for Craig.
Mookie nice. Pie?
What's that? No. What kind of pie?
Mookie?
What kind of pie? No, not Mookie Pie. Oh. I don't think I would. I would be unwilling to try Mookie Pie. If someone brought me out a dessert tray and was like, we have a Mookie Pie, I'd be like, get out.
Why are you trying to poison me?
Just bring me the check. All right. Good night, friends.
Good night, everyone.
Bye for now.